ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 145 of the report, and we're rocking out to my granddaddy, man. This disco lady, some old school shit here on the Span Report. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. What's going on with y'all? Once again, this is Mr. Span. This is episode number 145 of the report. And I feel a lot better, man. I'm sure y'all can hear it. I feel a lot better, man. I don't feel like I got, like, gravel in my throat no more, man. Like, I'm not dealing with the flu no more. So I'm feeling really good, man, and I'm back on the mic. Unfortunately, we couldn't do Sunday show because I was like, oh man, I felt horrible, man. I felt like a piece of shit, man. Let's just put that out there. I felt bad, man. I was not in any conditions to be recording anything as much as I wanted to be. I really couldn't, man. I was like out of it. It hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I was just like in the bed most of the weekend. I missed a couple days of work this week, man. It's just been, it was some shit. And so, yeah, man, for those of you who were patient enough, man, I appreciate you guys, man. Again, I apologize for not being able to get here on this mic and chop it up with y'all on Sunday, man. But, yo, I was just not in the position to do it. But we here today, man. We are here today. This is the first episode of Black History Month 2017. That's going down right now. And part of the reason why I'm playing Disco Lady right now, man, as we celebrate Black History Month, man, we celebrate the pioneers that came before us. And with this song right here, I'm going to give y'all a little Black History tidbit. That song was the first ever single ever to be certified platinum. Ever. My granddaddy did that shit. So I'm a little proud of that. And I feel like I can highlight that on the first episode of the Spirit Poor Podcast tonight on Black History Month, man. So yeah, man, shout out to my grandfather, Johnny Taylor, man. May he rest in peace. And yeah, man, but we are going to, we got some stuff to talk about, as we always do. I got a couple random thoughts. We're going to talk about some Beyonce. We're going to talk about some LeBron James. Of course, we got Donald Trump shit to talk about. We got a lot of little different things, man, to get to. Not only that, I had extended the all-time hood movie playoffs, man. So we're going to do those. The second round begins today. So all of those movies that are in the top eight now move on to the second round. Those movies that did not make it to the top eight, they fall by the wayside. So if you had not gotten your votes in for your favorite movie, man, hey, you kind of got an extension when your man got sick, right? When I got sick, you had a little bit of an extension to go ahead and slide them votes in. So for all of those movies, man, we're on to the round of eight, man. The great eight of the all-time hood movies we are going to do. We're going to move on for that. As a matter of fact, let me take a look at that poll right now. Let me see what's going on with that while we're just kind of chilling out, man. Another thing, too, while I'm doing that, like I said, man, we got Beyonce stuff to talk about. We got LeBron James stuff to talk about. We got Black History Month stuff to talk about, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. But also, man, we got some things to talk about when it comes to the Muslim ban that had been happening over the course of the last week, man, with Donald Trump and the travel ban and everything else, man. A whole lot of stuff, man. It's just, it's been a lot. It's been a lot on top of me being sick and everything else, man. But there's some other things that have been going on with me as well, man. Of course, you guys know, if you've been following me on social media, excuse me, if you've been following me on social media over the course of the last, I want to say, week or two, I'm getting ready to move, right? And it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that your man Span got doxxed a couple weeks ago. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with what doxxing is when someone, a group of people, they search out and publish personal private information about you on the internet for the purposes of harassing you, right? Now, a couple episodes ago, somebody went and they searched up one of my old addresses. I don't live there anymore, but it was a legit old address, right? And they kind of posted it in the chat room here on the live show while, you know, on YouTube. And so that's been going on. But that is not why I'm moving. That is not why I'm moving. I am moving because my lease is about to be up in like a couple months. And I've been like house hunting and stuff like that. And the funny thing about it is, man, I think I said this last week, I've been finding myself using some of the same terms about moving when it comes to I've been using some of the same terms that I hate hearing people use on house hunters. Right. I've been doing that. But, man, I went to go look at a house today, man, while we're talking about it, because this is very pertinent. This is very recent. Went to go look at a house today, man. Let me tell you, man, these folks, man, they will take a picture of a home and you will look at it and be like, oh, man, this shit looks nice. This is I like this. I like this. I need to go take a look at it. And we went to this house today, man. I really liked the house from the pictures that I saw. It had a possibility of having a fourth master bedroom and everything, like with the fireplace and stuff like that in the bedroom, stainless steel appliances, you know, all sorts of stuff, right? Get to the house today, man. And I wanted to like this house. I really did. But the bedrooms were so small. Like, so small. Like, I'm saying, like, you put a bed in there and that's it. You get nothing else in that room. There's nothing for you to walk. There's no room for you to walk. There's no room for you to put a dresser. There's no room for you to put, like, a chest. There's no room for, like, a TV stand if you like watching TV while you're laying down. None of that shit was popping off at this crib. And none of those bedrooms. None of them. And it didn't have a basement. Had an attic space. Didn't have a basement. So, yeah, man, like that house hunting stuff and like looking for a crib when you get ready to move and your lease is about to be up, man. Like, it's a little bit stressful, man. Like, I've been, and then on top of that, man, just like working, looking for a house and podcasting. It's a whole lot going on for your boy. So yeah, man, we've been doing that today, man. Real talk. And I've been talking all of that shit and I still ain't came up with the all-time hood movie playoff results. Oh, here we go. So let's take a look at what's going on. What movies have, let me mark these down while we're doing this. What movies did you guys put in the top eight for the all-time hood movie? So here we go. At the number one seed right now is Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood got 14.2% of the vote. So Boys in the Hood is number one. Let me write that down. In the Hood. All right. The number two ranked all-time hood movie right now is, let's see, wait, we got a couple of them. There's a tie. There's actually a three-way tie. A three-way tie between Menace to Society, Poetic Justice, and Juice. All right, so we got our next four. Let me put these down. All right. Menace to Society. Juice. And Poetic Justice. I'm kind of surprised at Poetic Justice. Okay. All right. Now, the fifth place movie, and there's another couple ties. Shit, we got a few ties here. And that's a four-way tie. Okay, so we got a four-way tie here. So that would mean that these four movies would make it into the final eight. And that would be Paid in Full. Paid in Full goes in number five. Paid in Full. And we got Set It Off. Set It Off will be number six. Seven would be Belly. Belly made it into the top eight. I'm surprised at that one. I am not going to lie. I'm a little bit surprised at that one. And the final movie to go on to the round of eight, the great eight of all-time hood movies, is South Central. South Central makes it into the top eight. Now, you know what's funny? Of all these movies, I am surprised that New Jack City did not make it. I am kind of surprised that Deep Cover didn't make it. I'm a little bit surprised at that, but yeah, so these are the results of what you guys put up. So you can go to thespanreport.com. You can take a look at those results of what the round of 16. New Jersey Drive got zero votes, man. Nobody thought that movie was any good. Fresh got 2.3% of the vote. Colors got 4.7% of the vote. Tales from the Hood didn't get any of the vote either. So there was a couple movies that didn't get anything. Deep Cover got 4.7%, and Jason's Lyric got 4.7% as well, but they didn't get enough to make it into the round of eight. So, yeah, man, we got our eight, and we got to file it down to the final four, man. So I'm going to put that up at the end of this episode so you guys can go ahead and vote to get your movie to the top four for the all-time hood movie playoff, man, all right? Now, I had a random thought, man. I was kind of thinking about, and I wonder if you guys have this problem in some of the cities that you live in and some of the places where you reside. I watch a lot of television, right? And with that comes a lot of commercials sometimes. And here in Michigan, and I'm sure it's not just Michigan, this is pretty much everywhere. Like, personal injury lawyers have commercials all over the place, right? And they have like their jingles, like they have these jingles because they want you to remember their phone numbers, right? But is there anybody who can tell these like personal injury lawyers how cheesy these jingles and these commercials are? So we got a couple of these like personal injury guys here in the state of Michigan, man. One guy's name is Mike Morse, and another guy's name is Jeffrey Feiger. Now, Jeffrey Feiger, a lot of you guys may be familiar with him, even if you're not from Michigan. Jeffrey Feiger was the attorney for Jack Kevorkian. He was Jack Kevorkian's attorney, so you may have heard of him because of Jack Kevorkian. But Mike Morse, he's become one of the more prominent personal injury attorneys here in Michigan, man. And he's got these, he's got these hard rock jingles that go on for his commercials, man. As a matter of fact, let me see if I could play one of his commercials now. Check this out.
All injury attorneys are created equal. We're not. The difference is how we treat you, how we handle your case, and what we win for you.
This isn't the one I like.
Call me now. 855-MIKE-WIN.
That wasn't the one. 855. I'm giving him all this free fucking advertisement, but that wasn't the one. He's got another one, man. Oh, man. It's, damn it. I want to pick the one with the hard rock. And I can't figure out which one it is. It's too late for it now. Let's see. One more. I'm going to go one more. One more commercial for Mike Morse.
Call me today, 855-MIKE-WINS. 855-MIKE-WINS.
All right, there it is. There it is. There it is.
855-MIKE-WINS.
855-MIKE-WINS. Who okayed that? Right? Who okayed that? There's another guy. Remember I said, like, there's another guy, Jeffrey Feiger. Now, Jeffrey Feiger, he once ran for governor of the state of Michigan. I don't think he won. I don't even know if I was living in Michigan at the time that he did. But Jeffrey Feiger also is one of those guys who's kind of over the top with his commercials. You would think, like, sometimes you would think that his commercials were campaign ads, like he was running for something. Jeffrey Feiger has his commercial right now where it's almost like he's getting ready to run for public office. Check this out. Let me, as a matter of fact, let me pull this up so you guys can check this out. Also, you can watch this here live with me. Let's do this here. There we go. There we go. Let me pull that up.
Feiger, for years now, you've heard me say, if you don't stand for something, you end up standing for nothing. Well, I've noticed that Donald Trump has succeeded in uncovering many of the feelings of millions of Americans. And to say it isn't pretty is an understatement. Bigotry, misogyny, intolerance, and out-and-out racism are front and center. I thought we were making progress in this melting pot called America. And now it seems we've gone back to a very bad time. When are we going to follow our better angels? America's supposed to be a place where our differences enhance the greater good. Inscribed in the Statue of Liberty are these words: give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. It doesn't say anything about a wall, does it?
This is Feiger's Law.
All right, it says 2020. Wait a second. Shut up. It says on that last video, it said 2020, a clear vision for America. I don't know if Jeffrey Feiger plans on running for president in 2020, but goddamn it, it sure as hell sound like he was. And he has a lot of commercials like that. What the fuck is... Okay, let me close that. Jesus Christ. But he has a lot of commercials like that where he's like, he's really grandiose, man. He's got these really wordy commercials. It's like, yo, am I supposed to call you if I get hit by, like, somebody on a motorcycle? Like, what's happening here, bro? Like, what's happening here? Right? So, yeah, man, Jeffrey Feiger, Mike Morse. I know some of y'all got some personal injury attorneys in y'all city. You be like, come on, man. Like, why y'all put this on? Why? Right? So, that's going on, man. Now, another big thing. Now, well, that wasn't big, but one big thing that kind of hit the news yesterday was the fact that Beyonce is pregnant, man, and she got twins.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
All right, now I know here's the thing, man. Like, when it comes to, like, Beyonce, when it comes to Beyonce, man, she's a polarizing figure for a lot of different reasons. a lot of the reasons I don't really understand why, right? Like, Beyonce is a world-renowned performer. She pretty much shuts down the internet anytime any news comes out about her. There's a lot of conversation that goes on about her. And of course there are times where, like, you got right-wing media who wants to paint her as like some outrageous radical black feminist and everything, and then you got, you know, hotep niggas who be mad cuz she actually gets the attention of a lot of sisters when they may be wanting, or like, I don't know, competing for the same attention from them same sisters. I don't know. It's not the same kind of attention, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, she came out. I was at work when this happened. I wasn't really privy to it until, like, I got finished with work. And, like, I was able to get to my phone and see what was going on. And, like, I saw it all over the timeline, up and down the timeline. Like, Beyonce pregnant. Beyonce about to have twins. Like, a celebration. Folks were happy. Folks are happy, and rightfully so, man. Goddamn, with all the bullshit we've been dealing with over the course of the last couple weeks, it's kind of nice to get some good news about some shit every now and again, right? Celebrating the birth, or celebrating the coming of new life and new babies, man, and seeing them grow and become their own people and their own human beings in much the same way. I wouldn't say in much the same way, but I kind of think about, like, Sasha and Malia Obama. Like, we kind of watched them grow up in the White House, man. They were real little when they first got there 8 years ago. And now, like, they're going, like, to college. And I think I keep forgetting which one's which with the Obama girls. But, like, one's in college, one's still, like, in high school, man. And they're staying in Washington so she can finish school and whatnot. You watch them grow and you see what kind of people they become. And with a lot of times when it comes to even with the celebrity kids, man, you kind of watch these kids grow up, right? And it was cool, at least for a brief moment, to not be thinking about all the bullshit we've been dealing with over the course of the last 2 weeks when it comes to Donald Trump and all of the bullshit that he's been pulling, right? But there is still a contingent of niggas who, because Beyonce is their girl's fave, or because Beyonce is the talk of the town and they don't necessarily consider Beyonce worthy of the conversation, who want to make themselves the center of attention. So you know how you become the center of attention when some shit ain't about you? Man, am I the only motherfucker not talking about this Beyonce shit? Man, I'm saying, all these women talking about is Beyonce. You ain't Beyonce. Y'all hoes still walking around with y'all damn ponytails all nappy and shit. Like, dumb shit like that. I saw a lot of that shit up and down my timeline. Some of these niggas I went to school with. Some of these niggas I just kind of know from, like, you know, being friends with y'all because you listen to the podcast or some other kind of way. But I saw a lot of ashiness coming off of niggas yesterday, man. And that's just lame. It's lame, dog. Like, understand this, man. It's like, when women are partying and they having a good time, it costs you nothing to shut the fuck up. It's free, man. Like, you can actually just, like, you know what, man? Let them have their thing going. Let them do their thing. Can you imagine, like, say for instance, man, like, women getting, you know, they getting their party on off of, you know, the celebration of Beyonce and, like, she's about to have these babies and everything, and women are having a really good time talking about it and being all about their fandom. It's almost, I kind of equate it to this, man. Like, fellas, you're really into Madden. Not everybody, but a whole lot of fellas are. You're really into Madden. You and your fellas are all kind of really into Madden. Y'all talk about Madden. Y'all play fantasy football. Y'all do all sorts of kind of shit surrounding the game of football, right? You having a Madden tournament at your house. All you and your fellas, y'all enjoying the tournament. Y'all got money online, maybe. Who knows? Y'all chilling, but y'all having a good motherfucking time. And then your girlfriend comes in, or your wife, or your mom, or whomever. She comes in and she unplugs that motherfucking PlayStation. Kind of poo-poos on your party. You're going to be upset. And you would kind of have a right to be upset. Which is kind of how, like, the sisters kind of feel when every time some shit pops up that the women are, like, enjoying, niggas got some bullshit to say, man. Niggas got to poo-poo it. Niggas got to, like, put their two cents in. Niggas got to throw the ash on the damn... they gotta flick their ash off, like, goddamn, these bitches is happy. Fuck wrong with them. You know what I mean? Like, stop that shit. It's lame. It's lame. Right? And I know some of these niggas that, like, that are listening to this right now who are upset that I'm saying this shit at all. Some of you niggas are going to call me a simp. Guess what? That does not stop making you a lame by calling me a simp for pointing out that you're kind of being a bitch right now about the whole situation. Does not make you not a lame for calling me a simp because you mad that your girl is happy about Beyonce having a baby. It don't. And it also reeks of, God damn, I need attention when you are the one, like, am I the only one? No, nigga, you not. No, you not. Stop doing that dumb shit. Stop doing it. So the one thing we get with Beyonce and with any kind of new announcement that Beyonce makes, man, Beyonce comes out with an album. It shuts down the internet. Everybody's got to get it. You're going to hear about it for the next month or so. It's just par for the fucking course, right? But there's always a cycle, man. The critics are going to critique whether or not this is worthy of all the attention that it's getting, right? So, like, you got think pieces that are being written up. You got, again, like I said, you got ashy niggas being mad, man. Fans rejoicing. Fans mimicking. And some of those mimics were a bit questionable. A little bit questionable. You ain't have to do that, sis. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was cool. It was cool to just be like, yeah, girl, you do your thing. It was cool for you to do that. But some of y'all, man, some just be taking this shit a little bit too far, right? Right? So, yeah, man, like, it was good. Like, I just put it to you like that, man. It was good for at least a few minutes. Because, you know, we focus on so much bullshit, man. And to a large degree, man, I try not to be so negative on this show because, like, yo, man, you don't want to be, like, depressed all the time, man. Like, you want to have a good time, and you want to laugh, you want to joke, you want to chuckle. Like, if you walk around pissed off all the time, man, like, you're not going to be a real healthy human being. So for this brief moment, man, let these women enjoy their fandom. Let them celebrate the birth or the coming of two new human beings, man, of someone they admire, respect, and adore. Is that too much to ask, fellas, to let the sisters have that? Is that too much to ask? That's what I got for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one question that I would bring forth to all of the fellas who may be listening to my voice right now. Is that too much to ask to allow the women to have their moment of fandom? In the much the same way your ass gonna have this moment of fandom come Sunday with Super Bowl. Right? So, yeah, man, go ahead and let them live, man. Let them party. Let them have a good time, man, because you will want the same for yourself. You will want the same for yourself, man. Now, moving on to something that's kind of fucked up, though. There was we got news that the woman who had accused Emmett Till of whistling at her was lying about the whole goddamn thing, right? So there's a new book coming out called The Blood of Emmett Till. It's written by Timothy B. Tyson. And in an interview, Timothy Tyson talks about the fact that he found the woman who had made those accusations, and she was willing to speak about what happened that fateful day that cost Emmett Till his life. As a matter of fact, let me see. I got this in my pocket. Let me pull this up for you guys real quick. I got this in my pocket. Do, 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 do. All right. So, wait, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Got a lot of shit in my pocket lately. Okay, here we go. I need to pull that shit up too. But yeah, what was this lady's name? Her name was... Well, let's just read from this article. And this is from Vanity Fair. On a steamy, hot September day in 1955 in a racially segregated courtroom in Sumner, Mississippi, two white men, J.W. Millam and his half-brother Roy Bryant, a country store owner, were acquitted of the murder of a 14-year-old black Chicago boy. His name was Emmett Till. And in August of that year, while visiting a deep South that he didn't understand, Till had entered a store to buy 2 cents worth of bubblegum. Shortly after exiting, he likely whistled at Bryant's 21-year-old wife, Carolyn. So her name was Carolyn Bryant. Enraged, Bryant and Milam took matters into their own hands. They would later admit to local authorities that they had abducted Till 3 nights later. And when they finished with him, his body was so hideously disfigured from having been bludgeoned and shot that its horrifying depiction in a photo in Jet magazine would help propel the American Civil Rights Movement. Now, Carolyn Bryant, I don't know how old this lady is. I'm sure she's very senior in age. She admitted to fabricating that story. As a matter of fact, in this article, she says, an attractive mother of two young boys, she had spent approximately 1 minute alone with Till before, in view of others, the alleged whistling had occurred. He may not have whistled. He was said to have a lisp. Carolyn then dropped out of sight, never speaking to the media about the incident, but she is hidden no more. In a new book, The Blood of Emmett Till, Timothy Tyson, a Duke University senior research scholar, reveals that Carolyn, in 2007, at age 72, confessed that she had fabricated the most sensational part of her testimony. That part's not true, she told Tyson, about her claim that Till had made verbal and physical advances on her. As for the rest of what happened that evening in the country store, she said she couldn't remember. Carolyn is 82 now, and her current whereabouts have been kept secret by her family. As we would expect they would, especially with news of this coming out. See, like, even in this article, and I'm not going to read all the way through this article, there was an attempt to humanize Carolyn Bryant. There was an attempt to try to understand Carolyn Bryant. There was an attempt to kind of explain away what Carolyn Bryant did. Well, she was a product of the time. Well, she's feeling sorrow for him now. It's tender, sweet sorrow. We try to, like, humanize these people. We try to make what they did sort of okay. Right? Like, yeah, I kind of feel bad. Yeah, you waited over 50 years to say, I lied about that. I feel bad about that. This is the kind of shit that pisses a lot of people of color off. If you're listening to me, you're a white person, whomever, this is the kind of shit that pisses a lot of us off, because there's no accountability whatsoever when it comes to a Carolyn Bryant or, say, for instance, even a George Zimmerman, right? Or we saw instances of, like, a Carolyn Bryant type of thing when it came to Susan Smith. Anybody remember Susan Smith? Susan Smith was the white woman who had drowned her two babies in a car, drove her car off into a river, drove those babies and drowned them in the car. Told the police that a black man had abducted her babies, had carjacked her, had taken the babies. And she carried on for about a good 2 weeks. Yo, a black man did it. Black man did it. And we find out that she had killed her babies, her fucking self. Countless stories, man. Like, that's just one example. But there are more than one example of women, or white women, going out of their way to fabricate stories about the menacing black boy or the menacing black man who did something to them, and they did absolutely fucking nothing. The same thing happened with, what was that, in 2008. I forget this lady's name, but she claimed that black people had assaulted her and burned the letter B in her face for Barack Obama. She just so happened to be a John McCain fan. Went on and on in the news about black people doing this to her. Come to find out, nobody did it to her. She had done it to herself. So you'd have to excuse black folks if we are a little tired of y'all motherfuckers lying on us. A little tired of that shit. A little fed up with that shit. That lying shit. It's not a good look. Not a good look. So the attempt to kind of humanize Carolyn Bryant in his Vanity Fair article was a little off-putting, man, for a lot of folks. I'm going so far as Carolyn, in fact, had approached Tyson because he was writing her memoirs. Her manuscript is in the Southern Historical Collection at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill Library and Archives. It will not be available for public view until 2036, according to Tyson, when she's dead and gone. Her daughter had admired Tyson's earlier book, Blood Does Sign My Name, about another racism-inspired murder committed by someone known to Tyson's family. And Tyson himself, a Southern preacher's son, says that when he sat down with Carolyn, she could have fit in at the Tyson family reunion, even at its local church. Clearly, he observed, she had been altered by the social and legal advances that had overtaken the South in the intervening half century. She was glad things had changed, and she thought the old system of white supremacy was wrong. Though she had more or less taken it as normal at the time, she didn't officially repent. She was not the type to join any racial reconciliation groups or make an appearance at the new Emmett Till Interpretive Center. Okay? She could have been at my church. She could fit right in here with my family. Like, the way we humanize these pieces of shit, because let's be clear, despite the fact, like, yo, you're supposed to respect your elders. Like, yo, man, I don't respect this. Yeah, she's 82 years old. And she caused a young black male to lose his life grotesquely so for no fucking reason. She thought that was normal? Fuck out of here, man. Nah. So, yeah, man, Carolyn Bryant coming out and saying that she lied about the whole goddamn thing. It's fucked up, man. Fucked up. And so we're not doing Ad Sat of the Week on tonight's show, but goddamn, she probably is a candidate this week, let me tell you. She could probably graduate to the motherfucking Ass Hat Hall of Fame, like, first ballot with this shit. Craziness, man. Craziness. Now, shit. Let me get off to something a little less heavy, right? A little less heavy than what's going on with that shit there, man. Charles Barkley found himself in the middle of some shit, right? Charles Barkley, as you know, former NBA All-Star. He's a basketball Hall of Famer. Charles Barkley has been known to be real critical of today's current players, man. Charles Barkley is kind of one of those dudes that says what's on his mind, even though it might not necessarily be the right thing to say at the time. Might not even be the right thing to say, period. Not even just relegating it to the time. But Charles Barkley was criticizing LeBron James about some complaints that LeBron James had about the makeup of his current team and their effectiveness or their viability as far as being a championship contender going forward. Can they defend their shit, pretty much? We need some help over here to defend our shit. And so Charles Barkley, who's on the show Inside the NBA on TNT, he kind of called LeBron James out, as he's wont to do, because he's done this before. But he went on inside the NBA to talk shit. But you know what was funny? What I didn't realize, because I didn't see this shit live, but there was a couple other people who had some shit to say about LeBron James in this clip. So I'm gonna go ahead and pull this up. We're gonna examine this right now. Let me unmute that.
Habs have lost 6 out of 8. We're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. We're a top-heavy team. I just hope we're not satisfied. It's like when you don't have bodies, it's tough. We're top-heavy. It's me, Kyrie, Kevin Love. It's top-heavy. I'm not singling out anybody. I'm not. Yeah, we won the championship, but you know what? Let's see if we can do something. Challenging Dan Gilbert also to spend more. And Kevin Garnett in Area 21 got Rasheed Wallace hanging with him tonight. Your reaction? Just LeBron James' comments were blank.
Surprising, because when you're a champion and filling in this when you want, you take on whatever the year is giving you. And I'm speaking from experience, right? The year is going to be ups and downs. It's going to be peaks and valleys.
Defending champs.
You got to know that you're getting everybody's best, first off, right?
Yeah.
Secondly, nothing's going to be perfect during the year. You're going to go through ups and downs, and through those peaks and valleys is what you learn about your teammates, what you learn about yourself, what you learn about everybody around you, the organization, everybody.
Well, what they're going through.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this right now. Right now, we are looking at Kevin Garnett and Rasheed Wallace. Great players. Like both of them as players. Excuse me. Both of these dudes have less championship rings than LeBron James. Both of them. LeBron James got more rings than both of these dudes combined. LeBron's got 3 of them. Kevin Garnett's got 1. Rasheed Wallace has 1. So, I don't know if they're doing this for our benefit, but you're talking about LeBron James, right? They're talking about LeBron James in this context of what you should expect from a championship team and how to maintain a championship team and how to go forward as a championship team. Yo, LeBron got more championships than the both of y'all. Who the fuck are y'all schooling in this moment? Who are y'all talking to? Because y'all can't talk to him. He got more than y'all. Who are y'all talking to? Right? But yeah, let's go forward. Whoops.
Is the same thing. Last year, okay, they were on the way to winning the championship. Right. So a lot of the baskets, a lot of the things they were able to get away with from the front office all the way down to the floor.
Right.
But now you're defending champions. So now you are under microscope just a little bit more. It's focused in a little bit more on
you're
you.
You're expected
so
to win.
We're expecting you to do this. We're expecting you to do that all the way from the front office all the way down to the floor.
And
why is KG wearing a fucking hood right now? Is it cold in here? Everybody else is wearing suits and shit. KG is out there in Area 21 with a goddamn hoodie on.
On top of that, I want to add on, when champions go through stuff like this, we deal with it in the locker room. We're not talking to the media about anything other than
new age.
Wins.
Right. New age. It's social media.
I'm giving perspective here, and that's what I'm saying.
And another thing, too, LeBron James beat the shit out of both of these cats. It ain't even about it so much being about a new age. Like, yo, I remember when the Pistons were like kind of like the, like, when the 2004 Pistons were kind of a thing, like I had, you know, moved back to Detroit and shit, and like everybody in Detroit was kind of a Pistons fan then. You don't see too many Pistons fans around this motherfucker now, but yeah, everybody was a Pistons fan then, right? And so, like, yeah, they had a little run. I can remember LeBron James scoring 30 motherfucking points in the fourth quarter against the Pistons and running their ass off the fucking floor and saying on the bench, like, we got whatever the hell we want down there. They can't stop us. Right? LeBron James being the youngest player to lead his team. Was he the youngest player or was it Magic? I'm not sure. No, Magic didn't lead the team to all the way to the finals. He led the team while they were in the finals after Kareem got hurt. But to lead his team all the way to the finals that year, And he got through a team like the Pistons that had won a championship before. They are not talking to a dude who does not know how to win a championship. He's done it before multiple times. KG went to a team that had Paul Pierce, that had Ray Allen with him. Yo, you won one fucking ring, dude. You're not going to talk to somebody who's got three of them about how to win championships. You're just not going to do it. You sound kind of foolish. You sound kind of foolish. Whoops. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not singling out.
All the way down to the floor.
Right.
But now you're defending champ.
Perspective here. And that's
true.
What I'm saying. We're teaching here.
True.
So with that, you deal with each other because you know who's going to get us out of this?
Each other.
No one's coming through this door. The mentality is to take care of it right now. And us.
And no address one. The issue face to face.
And be man about it. So, you know, that's our view on the issue. I feel like Cleveland's a championship pedigree. This type of behavior, this is when you're trying to make the playoffs. So when you're trying to figure out an identity. When you're a champion, you deal with it
amongst ourselves. This is normal that's happening in that locker room. It's just.
This is from niggas who only won one. They only won one. They gonna school this dude on how to win championships. He got more than
now. It's that you're hearing about it now because of the whole social media era. But this is normal for the locker room.
Let me go here, and I'll ask you, Chuck, with Tiso on the clock. Same kind of question I asked KG. LeBron James' comments were blank.
Inappropriate. Whiny. All the above. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they have given him everything he wanted. They have the highest payroll in NBA history. He wanted J.R. Smith last summer. They paid him. He wanted Shumpert last summer. They bought in Kyle Korver. He's the best player in the world. Does he want all the good players? He don't want to compete. He is an amazing player. But this notion, they're the defending champs. And for him to be trying to hold anything over Dan Gilbert's head, and I love all these wild punk-ass reporters on television who's afraid to call out LeBron. LeBron's a great player and a great guy. But this notion that he's got to have all the best players on his team. He's got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. He wants everybody. He don't want to compete. He want to be the favorite all the time. It just pisses me off that a guy that great don't want to compete.
His comments were what, Kenny?
All right. Now, again, Charles Barkley has been very critical of LeBron James pretty much since the decision, right? When LeBron James decided to lead the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time, he called that shit a punk move, right? And I'm going to be honest, I'm a Bulls fan. I wasn't really happy with the fact that LeBron James decided to go to Miami instead of Chicago. Should have been our championships, right? Right? But okay, I'm over this shit, right? That shit is dead and gone. I ain't tripping off that shit no more. Like, last year, I kind of wanted, like, Cleveland to win just to shut, like, the bandwagon Golden State Warrior fans up. Like, bandwagons I just don't fucking get with. I just don't, right? So, LeBron James, I don't even think he was privy to the shit that KG said. I don't think he was privy to the shit that Rasheed Wallace said. I don't think he was privy to the shit that Kenny Smith said. But somebody brought it to him about what Charles Barkley said, right? Somebody brought Charles Barkley's comments to LeBron James. And so LeBron actually, let me see if I can pull these comments up. Okay, because... Yeah, I was trying to find a video, and they didn't have all of this. I don't even know if he said these things off camera. But let me set the mood right, man. We got to make this shit correct. All right. In response to Charles Barkley, LeBron James went on to say this. I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody's kid through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debts in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, nigga. I added that. Never got in trouble. Respected the game. Print that. Then on top of that, he goes on to say that Go watch the 1993 finals when John Paxson hit the shot. Barkley and Michael Jordan were laughing and joking with each other during one of the games while somebody shooting free throws in the finals. But oh, nobody was friends back then, right? He said, James also said that if Barkley has any response to his rant, he knows where to find it. And if this makes it... Wait, uh-oh. Uh-oh, okay. And if this makes him want to talk to me, the schedule's out there. He knows every road arena I'll be in. Don't come up to me on All-Star Weekend and shake my hand and smile. So, this speaks of a dude who's a little bit irritated with this guy always having some slick shit to say. And we all know that dude, man. That nigga that always got something slick to say. Like, nigga, why you always talking shit? Especially when you don't know what the fuck it is you talking about. Charles Barkley, no ring, have an ass. Now, I know that does not make him a great player. But it's like, yo, man, why are you always the one? You are the least qualified to talk about my greatness. The least qualified amongst these group of folks. And it's always you. And it starts to reek of jealousy after a while. So, yeah, man, like, I kind of applaud LeBron James. What the fuck is wrong with my speech tonight? I kind of applaud LeBron James for speaking his mind, man. For like, yo, I'm tired of this shit, man. I don't have to take this shit. I'm not going to continue to take this shit from this dude. He gonna hear from me. If he got something slick to say, he gonna hear from me. I said to Shay, what the fuck? So yeah, man, LeBron James kind of snapped off on Charles Barkley. And you know what was funny about it? The funny thing about it is, man, like, I am one of the people. Excuse me. I am a big Michael Jordan fan. And so, like, when I hear people talk, like, I saw, like, a lot of folks like, yo, man, this make him better than Michael Jordan. And I'm like, yo, all right, come on, man. Pump your brakes. Right? Pump your brakes. LeBron James is a great player. Right? LeBron James will probably go down as the greatest player before he finishes the game. I'll say that as a Michael Jordan fan. He will probably go down as the greatest player to ever play this game. The dude is that good. The dude is that talented. There's no question about it. But it's getting to a point with, like, the discussions with great players, man. Like, as much as I like LeBron James, I do think we sometimes rush to anoint, right? This is the greatest player we've ever seen. Like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And I like LeBron James. And I like what LeBron James is saying and what he's doing right now. But greatest player ever right now? Nah, can't do it. Can't do it, man. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I like him. I like him a lot. But, yeah, man, that happened over the course of the week, man. LeBron James actually got at Charles Barkley finally. Like, he had been letting that shit slide for so long. He has the patience of Job. LeBron James does. The patience of Job, man, real talk. Now, yeah. We got some Donald Trump shit to talk about, right? And I was going to talk about the Muslim ban. But y'all know that's fucked up. Y'all know at this point, man, it's pretty much with Donald Trump, there's some bullshit going on every day. And with this particular episode, I don't want to spend so much time talking about Donald Trump. I really don't. The little that we will talk about is the fact that there was a story that did come out of Detroit, man. There was a Detroit story that came out. Channel 2, Fox 2, was talking about it. There's an article on Fox 2. I may link to it in the show notes, where there was an Arab gentleman who spoke of the fact that he was kind of caught up in that Muslim ban, where the travel ban stopped his mother from coming back home because they're permanent residents here. And she died, and I believe they were coming back from Iraq. And he said that they were at the airport. They were denied. She came back. They took her to the hospital, and she died in the hospital. What he did, the unfortunate thing about it was that he said that she died because of the travel ban. And then reports come back later that she died 5 days before the travel ban. And it's one of those things, man, it's like, yo, we don't need to make shit up with Donald Trump. We don't. We don't have to make any, like, we see every, like, Donald Trump needs no help in the fake news department. He needs no help in the alternative facts department. Like, he does a very good job of that all on his own. He doesn't need any tutors on that. He's very good at it. His team is very good at it. But one of the things about the whole Muslim ban that I was kind of, you know, worried about or thinking about was the fact that Steve Bannon is now a sitting member on the National Security Council. Steve Bannon being Donald Trump's chief strategist, and the demotion of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from that council. And that council is that council is responsible for. It's responsible for assigning a death notice, an assassination, to enemies of the state. And so I worry that with all the talk that we had about the travel ban, as fucked up as it is and as inhumane as it is, that, you know, this little bit of information may have got lost in the sauce for a lot of folks. That we have someone in Steve Bannon who is an alt-righter, who is a white supremacist, make no motherfucking mistake about it, is at the helm of a council who can decide who lives and who dies, and the president just has to sign off on it. And unfortunately, the dude who has to sign off on it isn't that fucking sane. It's Donald Trump. Isn't that sane? And I wonder, man, like, for all the talk that we did about the Muslim ban, man, for all of the stuff that I saw in the news about the Muslim ban, how that shit just kind of wasn't as focused on in the news. It wasn't as focused on as I thought it should be. Right? That's scary, man. That somebody of the likes of a Steve Bannon has the ability to influence the president of the United States to say that that person there is an enemy of the state and should be taken out. Right? When you think about all of the stuff that we're seeing, man, over the course of the last week, right? All of the stuff that we've seen over the course of the last week where you've got a religious test for immigrants coming over to the United States of America, where you've got Donald Trump not even knowing who Frederick Douglass is and whether or not he's alive or not, not knowing what his contribution to the United States of America even was. When you've got the Trump administration talking about the media being the opposition party, and Steve Bannon even going so far as to saying that the media should shut up and just listen. Or that the Donald Trump administration is saying that CNN, since they won't further our agenda and they won't promote our agenda, then yeah, we're going to freeze them out. We're not going to send any spokespeople to them. We're not going to answer any questions at any press conferences from these outlets that challenges on what we say. That shit's scary, man. For anybody paying attention, the shit is scary. And it's why, like, earlier this week, man, like, I was on Twitter and I saw Mark Lamont Hill on Twitter kind of talking about, you know, Mark Lamont Hill was talking about some of the bullshit that Donald Trump was pulling. And Mark Lamont Hill was also one of those folks, man, who were like, yo, you know, maybe we need a Donald Trump, you know, to kind of get us in, you know, make us get our shit together. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not scared of a Donald Trump presidency and all this other shit. You know, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are kind of like two sides of the same coin. And then when I brought this to Mark Lamont Hill, the man added me and said, I didn't say that. As if the fucking internet ain't forever, dog. As if we didn't watch him say that on The Breakfast Club. As if we didn't hear him say that on CNN. As if we didn't hear him say that on Twitter. Like, come on, bruh. Come on, man. Don't pull that bullshit. There are a lot of people who are going to be affected by the things that happen under this Donald Trump administration. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be affected to the point where we may lose some lives, right? Let's just put it out there. There's going to be some lives lost. And it didn't have to be, because some of us were so lax, so cavalier in our attitude about, you know, we could deal with this. We dealt with so much other bullshit. I don't want to keep dealing with bullshit, man, if I don't have to. I don't have to. But that's going on, man. Donald Trump, the Muslim ban, and listening to folks, before I get off of this, man, and listening to folks talk about how, well, Barack Obama came up with this list. Barack Obama did the same thing. Barack Obama did not do the same thing. There was a list that the Obama administration came up with. Did not enforce a travel ban. Did not say that these folks could not come into the United States. They did not detain green card holders and people who had valid visas. They did not cancel their visas. They did not send them back into war zones. That is not what the Obama administration did. None of the countries that were barred from entry into the United States actually has a terrorist act responsible from their citizens. Not one here in the United States. Not one. And I was on Facebook, man, earlier this week, and there was this one guy who was like, so what did Donald Trump do that was illegal? You know, so like, so now people, you know, they draw their lines in different places. So now what Donald Trump has done has to be illegal in order for you to think it's wrong. And I had explained to this dude, like, yo, man, everything that is legal isn't necessarily the right thing, man. Like, there was a time that slavery was legal. There was a time where child labor was legal. There was a time where texting and driving was legal. You don't do any of those things now. Those things aren't legal now. We know better now, right? So we don't do that shit no more. Legality doesn't mean, does not automatically equal virtue. It doesn't. You could cheat on your wife. That isn't illegal. Is it virtuous? Nah, it's not. So, listening to and watching people like wrap their minds around this, and you know, like just kind of watching this whole thing play out, man, it's like, wow, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get here? I'm sorry, man. I'm at a loss. I'm just kind of at a loss. But that's enough about Donald Trump tonight, man. Like I said, I don't want to talk a hell of a lot about Donald Trump. Yeah, man, we know that Donald Trump does not know Frederick Douglass is alive, man. We know that Donald Trump does not even know, like, he's got Ben Carson and Omarosa surrounding him. Not exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer. And it's fucked up that I have to say that about a former neurosurgeon, right? Because at one time you would have thought that Ben Carson was a hero, man. Like, That's what's so sad, man. Like, you grow up reading Gifted Hands and like, oh man, Dr. Ben Carson is the truth. And then you get grown and you see Ben Carson now, you're like, man, what the fuck happened to you? What the fuck happened to you? So that's going on, man. So no, we're not gonna get into that. We're not gonna do that at all. But what we will do tonight, we got a new member of that special HOTEP unit in the black community. Pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Rite, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories. So, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. Dr. Wesley Muhammad, a member of the Nation of Islam, says that, this medical marijuana that a lot of y'all are smoking right now, man, shit making y'all gay. Shit making a lot of y'all gay. And so, I can't. Okay. This dude stood before a room full of folks and said that smoking medicinal marijuana is turning black men gay. How? We're going to listen to him explain how smoking marijuana makes black men gay. Check this out.
The Depo Provera that our government targeted you and I with actually chemically induces homosexuality in men. Do you follow?
No, I don't follow. I don't follow you at all.
Now, many drugs, they say, besides these antiandrogens such as Depo-Provera, such drugs appear to at least partially divert or block masculinization of the nervous system during neural organization. Many drugs besides these have a partial demasculizing effect. The list includes barbiturates, which are drug, yada yada, yada yada, yada yada, marijuana.
Wait. Dude, you supposed to be explaining some real, like, biomechanical, biodegradable, homeopathic, biological shit. Like, you supposed to be explaining some real deep shit to us, and you yada 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 and shit. Like, man, what the fuck is that? What is that? Come on, man, you a good doctor, but what the fuck is that?
Your weed family is subtly, partially feminizing you.
Now, of all the dudes you know who smoke weed and may even be smoking the medicinal kind, how many of them do y'all know turn gay and suddenly start wanting they boys, or for the ladies? How many of them all of a sudden one of their girls after hitting some of this good shit here? You ever notice, man, like, nothing turns anybody straight? You ever notice that? Well, they got like electroshock therapy, you know, the kind of shit that like Mike Pence believes in. Like, you could shock these motherfuckers and turn them straight. Like, there's absolutely nothing, man. Like, everything turns you gay. You watch Teletubbies? Yeah, man, them Teletubbies turn you gay. Mm-hmm. I saw it on TV. Yeah, man. Listen to that R&B music. Yeah, this shit turn you gay. Mm-hmm. Listen to that hip hop music. Mm-hmm. Turn you gay. Saggy pants, man. Yeah, man. That shit turn you gay, man. Everything makes you gay. There's nothing that makes you masculine or makes you feminine or just makes you straight. Like, nothing that just like makes you that. You ever notice that? Everything. When they want to tell you something that's bad for you, they say either you're going to die from it or you're going to be gay if you keep doing that shit. Really? Really? Okay, we're gonna let this good doctor keep going though. Dr. Wesley Muhammad.
See how quiet it is? What? You wanna get up and walk out on me like the LGBT walked out on the Honorable Mention Louis Farrakhan in Long Beach? That's what you wanna do?
Well, yeah, because you're talking some dumb shit. You didn't even want to explain the shit fully. You wanted to yada, 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 marijuana. If I come to a place of worship and the pastor up there just like bullshitting through his presentation, yeah, nigga, I'm out. You ain't talking about shit. And the shit that you are talking, if I know it's some bullshit, what the fuck am I sitting here for? What am I sitting here for? You full of shit. You wasted my time, man. So he's now calling out folks who may be walking out, because you can't see them from this camera angle. But he's calling folks out who may be walking out. And then once he says that, now you got the devout. You got the people who are bought in, standing up and applauding this bullshit. Because that's what happens, man. This is what happens in a lot of churches, and unfortunately a lot of mosques. Well, like, if you're trying to bring people to God, man, like, telling them how fucked up their lives is and how judgmental you can be, you don't attract people to the church in that way. You don't attract them to your mosque in that way. That's not the way to get at folks. That's not a way to introduce people to God if they believe in God. You attract a whole lot more people with honey instead of vinegar, dog. It's an old saying. Old saying. But yeah, he's like, yeah, y'all wanna walk out on me? Yeah, nigga, I'm walking out.
Okay. Okay. Well, if you don't now, I'm gonna work hard to make you.
You're going to work hard to make folks walk out. How is that? If you're a Muslim, how is that bringing anybody closer to Allah? How? When the preacher is up at the pulpit and he's trying to alienate those whom you say you're trying to bring into the religion, or whom you say you're trying to educate. When your pastor, when your preacher is being antagonistic to the crowd, because what he's saying is some bullshit. Some bullshit. So, yeah, man. I was going to try to make some jokes out of this shit, man. I was going to make clips of this shit, man. I was going to do a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not going to even waste my time, dude. Like, Dr. Wesley Muhammad is also in the special HOTEP unit this week here on the Span Report, man. This shit is ridiculous. Everything turns to people gay, apparently. But yeah, man, it's about time for me to get out of here. It's getting late. Got to go to work tomorrow. But of course, before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll read those emails and respond to them live here on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there and chop it up with me throughout the week. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube. You can watch the show live. You can participate in the chat room. Interact with me live here on the show. You can also call into the hotline while I'm doing the show live when I open up those phone lines. So go ahead and subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. It's The Span Report or Span TV on YouTube, man. Go ahead and subscribe there. Get alerted when I go live and all of that. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The videos are available there. Every video that I use while I'm doing the show is available there. Everything, man. Vote in the polls. Leave comments. Donate to the show. Everything is available at thespanreport.com. So, yeah, man, that's your one-stop shop for everything Span Report. And I hope you guys do just that. But, yeah, it's time for me to get out of here, man. And I feel better. I will talk to you guys again Sunday. So, until next time, fam. Peace.